In response to the preaching and before our Thanksgiving prayer, let us sing from Psalter number 395, all four stanzas. Number 395, all four stanzas. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the year 1623, William Bradford, the governor of Plymouth Colony, New England, made the following declaration. And I want to quote him at some length. To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forests to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord 1623, and third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor, and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. So far then a quote from William Bradford from the colony that existed just for a few years in New England. Well, this hour, you and I, we are also called to listen. Not only to ye pastor, but to listen to what God has to say to us this hour. And I too need to listen to what He has to say to all of us. So that you and I may be able to render thanksgiving to our Almighty God for all His blessings, as William Bradford said. And we will prepare ourselves for our Thanksgiving prayer by listening to the words of our text, as I have quoted them already, from Colossians 2, the verses 6 and 7. And let us consider these words by the following theme and division. Abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. First, we'll consider the source. Secondly, the motivation. And then thirdly, the level. So, abounding in thanksgiving, the source, the motivation, and the level. Now, congregation, someone once said, not all that long ago yet, that thankfulness seems to be a forgotten art, a lost art today. In our world of today, people receive and they consume, they travel and they are protected. They sleep and they wake up. They become ill and they are healed again. But where is the thankfulness in all of this? It is asked. It seems indeed that it has become a lost art along with a loss of humility as well. Because in all of this pride, the pride of man has taken over, and along comes with it the philosophy, well, I deserve these things. I have a right to these things. I have a right to have a happy and joyful, carefree life. But now, how is it with the Christian? Has thankfulness perhaps also become a lost art with the Christians as well? Well, I must say, not if they are genuine Christians following the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in God, being worked on by the Holy Spirit. Because if they are, then they know also that the source of thanksgiving is right with them, and it is right there for them. And so, who or what then is the source of your and my thanksgiving? Well, let's make this clear. It is not to be found in us, but it is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the text makes this very clear as well, doesn't it? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. This is the answer. And when the Apostle Paul wrote these words that we have just read, he labored among the congregation to make Christ great amongst them. He wanted to make sure that Christ would receive the credit for all that has happened to them, for all the blessings that they are enjoying, and for all the things that they could do. That Christ would get the credit for it. Now you must know that these Colossians were once part of a generation that had really nothing at all in common with the Christians. The Apostle Paul tells us that already in chapter 1 and verse 21. And you, as it were, pointing to the Colossians, and you were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. You see, these people were really no different at all from the average pagan of that day, even of the average pagan that you and I might see around us in this day and age. People who are into themselves only, and they tend to be proud, they tend to be selfish, they tend to be thankless as well. And so that is how those Colossians were at one time too. But the gospel was preached to them. The Lord Jesus Christ was presented to them. Christ, the crucified one, and Christ made himself available to them in such a rich way that they could embrace him in faith. And therefore the Apostle Paul also says to them, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Finally, here in our text chapter, just before our text, the apostle writes to the Colossians that he rejoices to see the result of them following Christ. And that is that there's that firmness and that steadfastness of their faith. And so all the praise is therefore for Christ. For the Colossians, you see, it was Christ-empowered preaching, it was Christ-empowered regeneration, it was Christ-empowered faith, Christ-empowered hope, Christ-empowered firmness in the faith, and finally also, as Paul leads us into that, Christ-empowered thankfulness. And so, as they have received the Lord Jesus Christ, they have Christ also, therefore, as the source of their thanksgiving. Now, dear people, the source of your and my thanksgiving does not lie in our natural heart, does it? Our heart, by nature, is not a source of such grand things. Our heart, by nature, is a source of pride. It is a source of selfishness. A source of dispute. By nature, we would have to say that our heart wants nothing else but I deserve. I have a right to things. Let me do it my way. By nature, our heart, it does not abound in thankfulness at all. But to the contrary, it abounds. It abounds in complaints. Why am I not getting this or that or the other thing? But when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, And when Christ begins to work in our heart by His Word and by His Holy Spirit, and when Christ begins to dwell in our hearts and overtakes our lives, dear people, then He becomes the source of our thanksgiving. Note then also that the source of our thanksgiving is not in our experiences. Because if that were the case, only our good experiences would make us thankful, while our bad experiences would make us complain, or at least make us less thankful. So it is not based and should not be based on our experiences. If our experiences were really the source of our thanksgiving, then if we would be going through difficult times, we would have nothing to be thankful for. Then it would be quite legitimate to ask, well, why am I in church? Why am I here on Thanksgiving Day? What am I to be thankful for in terms of my sickness? What am I to be thankful for while I'm trying to scrape my pennies together to make a living? Why am I to be thankful for? What am I to be thankful for if I have this deep-seated sadness within me because a loved one has passed away and I miss her or him? I have nothing to be thankful for if we base it upon our experiences. And therefore, no, our experiences should not be the source of our thankfulness, dear people. And we need to understand this clearly. It is Christ, you see. It is Christ who is to be the source of your and my thankfulness. Because when we receive Christ by faith, and when Christ dwells in our hearts and in our lives, even difficult times will not wipe out the feelings of thankfulness. And Christ dwells in us as our source of thankfulness, we will learn to be thankful in everything. This is why the Apostle Paul could also write to the churches in Philippians 4, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Well then, with Christ in us, we have the source of thankfulness in us. Then, even when we experience that life proves to be difficult, we can nevertheless still be thankful to God. But now in the second place, the motivation for abounding in thanksgiving. Motivation. What was the motivation for the Colossian Christians to abound in thanksgiving? Well, the Apostle Paul actually mentions four things here in verse 7. Let me just go through them very quickly. One, they were rooted in Christ. Now, there was something about those Colossian Christians that was deep and that was below the surface. It was not a superficial sort of Christianity that they practiced, but it was a well-rooted sort of Christianity. They did not have to rely on good experiences or on favorable emotions to become thankful to God. They did not need any sort of special encouragements for this. They did not need a special atmosphere that had to be created for Thanksgiving. They did not need any special kind of activities around in order for them to become thankful to God. They didn't need anything at all outside in order to bring them into a mood of thanksgiving. Their roots, you see, they were very deep. They were rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what motivated them for thanksgiving. And so again, dear people, I ask you, are you and I, are we rooted in Christ? You know, the strongest plants in our garden are those with the longest and with the deepest roots. Then in seasons that are dry, they still flourish because the roots go deep enough to hit the water level. And so, are your roots deep enough that they are indeed in Christ? Do you and are you able to draw nourishment and strength from the Lord Jesus Christ through your roots? Well, then you will all have the motivation for true thankfulness. Two, we read that the Colossians were built up in Christ. Their house of life, you see, it was built upon the rock, Jesus Christ, so to speak. And their whole house of life was raised and it was structured and built upon the rock, Jesus Christ. Now this reminds me of that parable that the Lord Jesus told of those two houses. The one was built upon the sand and the other was built upon the rock. And then we read also that the one that was built upon the sand collapsed when the winds and the waters began to hit it. But the house that was built upon the rock, no matter what happened, even though the wind, as it were, hit it hard, and though the waters crashed upon it, it remained intact. And so it is also with us. If we are built up upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the winds of adversity come at us and begin to blow at us very hard, and when those waves and billows of difficulty begin to crash down upon you as well, because you are well settled upon Christ, nothing will happen. You will stay firm in Him. And for the Colossians, you see, this is what motivated them to abound in thankfulness. And such will also be your and my case if we are well built upon Christ. Three, we read that the Colossians were established in the faith. And the meaning here is that the Colossians have learned to put their faith into practice. It was not something that they said, yes, I believe, but they practiced it in their daily life. Their faith had been in exercise already for some time, you see, and it had established itself as something that was steady and that was reliable. The faith of the Colossians, you see, has been a working faith, as the Apostle James would say this. And therefore, it was an established faith. And their people, is your faith an established faith? Have you learned already to exercise your faith in your daily life and activities and conduct? The Apostle Paul, he speaks in Galatians 5 and verse 5 of a faith that works by love, for instance. Has your faith therefore been exercised in deeds of love? Especially as we think that this day of Thanksgiving should be a day in which we can express our love to one another in a special way, even to strangers, if that is open for us. You see, such exercise of faith will establish your faith. And it will become another motivation for abounding in thankfulness. Four, we read that the Colossians were taught. They were taught. We are told, for instance, earlier on, that Epaphras was a minister in the church of Colossae at one time, or at that time. And that through Epaphras, they learned how not only to come to Christ, but how to remain in Christ. How to live out of Christ and for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Colossians had learned, therefore, from their pastor and from their teacher, how to serve the Lord God in heaven through His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Word and through the Holy Spirit. And they had learned to exercise their faith in a triune God. They were taught an active, an obedient lifestyle, living as Christ, as God Himself would want them to live. And being taught that way, it motivated them to abound in thanksgiving. Well, may I say, in a humble matter, that you and I have also been taught these things. No doubt I can only stand in the shadows of a man like Epaphras. And certainly I must stand far in the shadows of a man like the Apostle Paul. But I too have tried at least to teach you from the Bible not only how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only that there is that necessity to be born again, but I've tried to teach you as well what it means to live for Christ and to follow Him. I've tried to teach you these things from the Bible, from the Word of God, what is required for each one of you as well. I've tried to teach you not only some of the basics, but also what follows after as well. And so may I say with the Apostle Paul in our text that you too have been taught and you have been rooted and you have been built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught. May I then also expect, having been taught these things, that you too may have that motivation to abound in thanksgiving. As William Bradford, the governor of Plymouth Colony, once said to the pilgrims in 1623, "Listen to ye pastor, and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for His great blessings." If so, let me then also in the third place speak to you about the level of thanksgiving. A few years ago, on a Saturday afternoon, a CBC radio announcer tried to measure the level of thankfulness among the people in everyday society. She had placed herself at the entrance of a public building. And whenever she saw someone approach the door, she would open the door for the people to see if they would actually thank her for doing so. And to her great astonishment, many people did not say thank you to her at all, and she actually had to conclude that that was the level of thankfulness amongst the people. Very low level. Then she went on to say that we people need to get back to the real meaning of thankfulness and learn to say thank you to everyone and that everywhere. Well, you know, this is how the world would appreciate thankfulness. But is that really the essence of thankfulness? That it consists of just saying thank you to everyone and being polite to everyone? Personally, I beg to differ. The essence of thankfulness, you see, it does not lie in our politeness to our neighbor, although it is good and it is Christian to show that sort of politeness at all times, not only on Thanksgiving. But the essence of our thankfulness should lie in our worship of God. And the level of our thanksgiving, therefore, depends on how much we stand in awe of our God. Notice that the Apostle speaks in our text about abounding in thanksgiving. This is not a low level of thanksgiving. This is not even a medium sort of level of thanksgiving. But this is the highest level of thanksgiving, dear people. Abounding, you see, this means overflowing. It means bubbling over, so to speak. One Bible commentator, well-known Bible commentator, William Hendrickson, says the following. Paul does not pray that the Colossians begin to be thankful, but rather that the ocean of their gratitude may constantly overflow its perimeters. You see, you and I, we are not to be satisfied with mediocrity. Not in our worship, certainly not in our thanksgiving. What God has done to us and for us, through His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is worth far more than just a simple thank you to God. What God has done for us and to us is beyond our grasp even to understand. After all, He gave His Son, His only Son, His beloved Son in His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We know that verse so well, don't we? This should be enough reason already for abounding in thanksgiving. But there is more yet. God's Son made Himself available. In fact, He did more than that. He sacrificed Himself for us so that through His sacrifice and through His death, He would save people like you and me of our sins. And again, it is God the Father who stood behind all of that and says, this is what I allow my Son, this is what I want my Son to do in love for me and for the people. And so we read also that God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this too, dear people, should be enough reason for you and for me for abounding in thanksgiving. But there's more yet. More yet. We who have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we who have received the Lord Jesus Christ are, so we are told, we are grafted into Christ. We are now in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, being in union, we are rooted and built up in Him. And we are established in the faith. And we have been taught these things. And this certainly should then give us much reason to abound in thanksgiving. And so, to summarize it, our source of thanksgiving is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's right from our text. Our motivation for thanksgiving is Christ working in us with His Word and with His Holy Spirit. Our level of thanksgiving should be at the highest level altogether, that is, abounding in thanksgiving. And now, people, what is your, what is my level of thanksgiving? Is it low because life is difficult for you? Is it low perhaps because you find yourself surrounded by all sorts of troubles and all sorts of distresses? And I would plead with you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom you have believed, haven't you? After all, He is the source of thanksgiving. And there, of course, are all sorts of motivations for thanksgiving. We have received food and clothing and shelter this past season, haven't we? We have been able to provide for our families and have even had a little bit left over to help others in need. Most of us have enjoyed good health this past season, and some of us have received wonderful recovery as well through surgery or through medication. Some of us have also obviously received supernatural protection at times. As your pastor, I have not had to sit at any deathbeds or conducted any funerals this past season. We, moreover, live in a free democratic country, so far safe from any sort of warfare or any sort of terrorism. We may still practice our Christian religion in freedom. As congregation, we also have reason for thanksgiving as society life in every level, every sphere of the congregation seems to be flourishing. And what about our own personal spiritual blessings? Is salvation for sin and forgiveness and being born again, is that not enough reason, my dear brother or sister? Is that enough reason for thanksgiving? Isn't the gift of faith, isn't the feeding and the nourishing of our weakening faith by the Word and by the sacraments reason enough for thanksgiving. I believe that our level of thanksgiving should be where our text therefore puts it, namely, abounding in thanksgiving. Well, shall we express this to God in words of prayer? Shall we not express our thanksgiving in that way? After all, He is the source of thanksgiving. He has given us many motivations for thanksgiving, and therefore He deserves the highest level of thanksgiving, abounding in thanksgiving. Amen.